Mark chapter number 10 this morning. Mark chapter number 10, we're going to start in verse number 46. This is a familiar passage of scripture. If you heard my testimony at all about God working in my heart, this is a story that I enjoy telling. If you've been around for a number of years, you've heard me talk about blind Bartimaeus before. And whether you're a child or a teenager, this is one thing that I enjoy just preaching about. And Lord led me to this spot again. I know it's been a number of years. This past year, I think we taught it to our children. So if you were there in junior camp, you would have heard at least the story. But every time I come to a story, I reread it with fresh eyes and let the Lord, I honestly say, when I went back and looked through, you say, well, you just don't want to have to rewrite another sermon. And that's just not the case. Many times I don't even use the same notes. To tell you a little bit about me, I grew up in church. I know you guys hear my joke about being there 9 months before I was born. I was started at church, and all throughout my life, with the exception of maybe a year to a year and a half, I was a four-time person going to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, for a short period of time. When I was working the overnight shift, I did not make it to every single Sunday night. And in no way, shape, or form am I bragging about my church attendance. I'm just saying that's just was my life. And as I was in church my entire life, the Lord taught me a lot of things. I went through a lot of up and downs in my Christian faith. Probably about the age of 9 is when I understood I needed a Savior and cried out to God to save me. I remember for a year or so before that, at least what I remember the story. And once again, as you get older, the stories sometimes get a little more faded. But what I remember the story, I kept on asking my dad about getting baptized and kept on saying no. And my dad, many of you know, at that point in time wasn't going to church, so I was a little bit unangry that my dad would tell me, hey, I couldn't get baptized. And there was a reason, because I was at the age of 9. I was sitting probably second or third row at Baptist Bible Church many, many years ago. It was a Saturday night of a revival. You thought, who has church on Saturday night? Well, they did. It was I think it was a Sunday to Sunday service, and Dick Seaton was up there preaching, and he gave the invitation, and for the first time in my life, at least that I remember, I was convicted of my sins. I'd known I had been a sinner. I grew up in church, rode the van in, and people took me to church on Sunday nights. Mom took me to church all the time. Was part of a Christian school, but it was that night that the Lord revealed unto me, or at least showed me and convicted my heart of my sin, and I was gloriously saved. I'm thankful for that. It reminds me that, and that's the reason why I was never able to get baptized, because baptism comes after salvation. And baptism does not save you. Baptism is a step of obedience. It's an outward expression of an inward decision. At probably at the age of 13 or 14 at a junior camp, I was called to preach. Later on, at a teen camp, confirmed that call to preach. But as I got close to graduating from high school, I decided to do things my own way. Didn't have a lot of money. Got offered a job to help manage a restaurant. So I did that for a few years thinking, I'm going to save up all this money so that way I can go off to college. A lot of time I went to college, I still didn't have any money. So I had enough for the first semester, but it worked my way through the rest. And went out to Pensacola Christian College. The Lord sent me there. It's where I met my wonderful and beautiful wife. And didn't go back after my freshman year. And began working, managing different things over the last number of years. About 25, the Lord began convicting my heart about getting some things right and straight. And don't get me wrong, during that time, I was part of a church. Like as I said, I was there 4 times a week. During that time, I was teaching junior church. At a certain point in time, I began not only teaching junior church, I also began teaching an adult Sunday school class. But there was always something missing in my heart, always something missing in my life. And I had not ever truly surrendered my heart for God's calling on my life, which was to be a preacher. So about the age of 25, I began to really, truly seek that, went back to Bible college, went to Maryland Baptist Bible College in Elkton, Maryland. I know all of you have heard that, right? Nobody really knows about Maryland Baptist Bible College. You don't even know if it's still in existence. A few of you may know. I know Miss Leah went there for a semester or a year, I think, way back when. And not when I was there. Of course, she's a lot younger than I was. Even at 25, she was still younger than me. So, I got there. God began to just do a work in my heart the next 3 or 4 years, pulled some things out of my life that needed to be pulled out of, got my focus straight, felt like God was calling me to preach. During that time, we had a little bit of a transitional time period. Pastor Barry, who was our pastor, had left. He didn't do anything wrong, but he left the church, and there was a little bit of a church split. They called another pastor. That pastor, during that time period, had done something so wrong, he had to resign his leadership position, and that was a hard time for me. I was in Bible college at the time. It was really a hard time for our church because of the sin he had done, and it was a sad time. I was sitting there, and I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to do, and in Bible college, seeking after him, seeking his word, still throughout this time, teaching junior church, still teaching an adult Sunday school class. I taught senior citizens. Can you believe somebody that was 23 or 24 actually thought they could teach senior citizens anything? But they were nice and they were kind, and I probably learned more in that class than they learned, because they were helpful to me as a young man studying to go into the ministry and teaching that class. And there was one night on a Wednesday night where a man came in and preached a message about blind Bartimaeus. I can't tell you what the outline was. I can't tell you exactly what his jokes was, but I know that night God spoke to my heart. And there was one main emphasis that God spoke to my heart, and that was that I needed God. I'd grown up in church, and I was saved on my way to heaven, taught classes, was faithful. Wife was a Christian school teacher, a good young family in the church. But there was something that I was not as close to God as I could have been. And it helped me understand that there was things in my life that I was letting stop me from getting to God. And in this story, the way that the preacher that day, over 20-some years ago, presented it, reminded me I should not let anything stop me from getting to God. And the importance of getting to God. The importance of having a close fellowship of God. The importance of that God is truly the only one that can make a difference in her life. There are certain things in this world that only God can do. And as I began to learn and understand everything that I want to do, especially spiritually, only God can do. And I must learn to depend on him. I must get to him. I'll have a close personal relationship with him, because without him, I can accomplish nothing. So as we look at this passage of scripture once again, and I do not know how many times in the last it's been over 19 years since we've been here. I've spoke this, whether it be in Sunday school class on Sunday night or Sunday morning. It comes to this spot to help me understand that I need God. We need God in our life. And I don't care if you've been to church your entire life. I don't care if you're serving. I don't care how high you think you've climbed up a ladder of your Christian life. You need the Lord. And you need God in your life. And he needs to be an important part of your life. He's the one that needs to be able to lead and direct. And he's the one that we need to grab a hold of. We can't let people stop us from getting there. People are distractions sometimes. People cause hardships. People sometimes will not bring you closer to God. Instead, they'll pull you away from God. And today in this passage of scripture, we're going to see a blind man who understood one thing. He needed to get to God. And he was not going to let anyone else stop him from getting there. Let's look here in Mark chapter number 10. Let's look in verse number 46. The word of God says, "And they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he say, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto you?' The blind man said unto him, 'That I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I, I pray you help me. Lord, that you give me the words that you once said. And Lord, I pray that those words that you lead and guide will make a difference in someone's life today. Not just someone, each person that can hear, whether they're here physically or whether they're listening online, or even if it's someone that maybe months or days or weeks or years ahead. God, we believe that you can work through a service or a message like that. Lord, we're anxiously anticipating what you can do in our hearts today. Lord, free us from any distractions. Lord, free our hearts from any other things that may arise that would take away the attention from your word. Lord, I pray, once again, you work today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's some things I want you to think about and some things I want you to consider about this man, Bartimaeus. He was, picture yourself when you go there. Picture what it would have been like a blind man in those days and those times. Nowadays, there's sometimes some social needs and social services that can help different people with disabilities. Sometimes, even nowadays, they have some modern-day technology that can make living as a blind person a little bit simpler. Now, I'm not minimizing the problems with not being able to see. It's a great blessing to be able to see, and we should use that blessing that God's given us for his honor and for his glory. But Bartimaeus, each and every day, would go by the wayside. Now, how would he get there? It wasn't like he had a car. Someone would either have to carry him to this location and sit him down, and each day he would cry out alms for the poor. Based off the generosity of other individuals and the other people, he would be able to possibly scratch out a living enough to be able to help sustain himself, and maybe if he had a family. If he did not have someone that could carry him there each day, he would go maybe with a cane or a stick and find his way to this spot in this location. And here at this location, he would spend day after day just crying out, asking for alms for the poor. This day was something different. In Luke, it talks about this story, and it talks about it in Luke chapter 18, verse 36, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." So back then, it was this passage of scripture. He had heard there was a group coming. And as he was hearing there was a group coming, when the outskirts of the people were coming, he asked them what was happening, what was going on, what was it that was causing all the commotion, what was causing all the ruckus. And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth was coming by." First thing I want you to think about, someone had to tell Bartimaeus about Jesus. Someone had to tell Bartimaeus that Jesus was coming and who Jesus was. From what we understand in the Gospel of Luke, he did not need to describe that this was a man who actually was able to heal the blind. It seems as if when you read it, he had already understood that. So we come to the realization, how would he have heard that? He had heard it from somebody else. I want you to understand that the importance of the story of Bartimaeus was someone had told Bartimaeus that there was someone out there that could help him. And the first application we can make in our lives, how many of us are telling Bartimaeus that there is someone out there that can help him? We see blind Bartimaeus in a spot, in a location where he cannot help himself in some ways. He cannot provide for himself. He cannot take care of himself. And he definitely cannot do anything that's going to cause him to receive his sight again. But there was someone over the times that maybe had met Jesus, or someone across the way that throughout the times and the days had maybe seen Jesus perform a miracle, or maybe heard Jesus had performed a miracle and had told Bartimaeus there was someone out there that could help him, and he was Jesus of Nazareth. He had already made this decision because of what someone else had told him. We live in a world full of blind people. I do not know the percentage. I could have looked it up. I didn't. But we live in a world that's full of blind people that are blinded spiritually. You look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4, I believe it's where the Bible talks about how Satan have blinded the eyes. And he's talking about how there are people that are spiritually dead, people who cannot spiritually see their need. And there are, have we been given a commission to go out and tell those that cannot see their need, to tell them there is someone who can help them. So I hear in this story, and as I was reading through the story, I was reminded once again of that night when someone had reminded me or showed me my need. also throughout my childhood, hearing it at the Christian school, or hearing it in Sunday school, or hearing it in junior church, or hearing it on Sunday night preaching, or Wednesday night, or whether it's in vacation Bible school, all throughout those years, you have a need, and there's someone that can help that. Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road, and people sometimes felt sorry for him. They would give him something, maybe felt led of God to give them something to help this poor blind man. Sitting on the side of a highway begging is something I'm sure most of us would not say, hey, that's something I want to do. We live in a culture today that there are people that sit on the side of the roads and they have signs and they beg, and we don't even know whether or not we can give to some or not, because some people are scammers when they do that. We should be careful and let the Lord lead us and guide us in what we give and what we do and how we do it. But here, Bartimaeus was not someone that was scamming someone. Bartimaeus was someone that was desperately in need of either being able to see so he could provide in a normal way, or for someone else to help take care of him. It says in verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Second thing I want you to see, not only is there someone who had to tell Bartimaeus ahead of time, and I want to encourage you to be someone who tells the Bartimaeuses of the world that there is someone who can help you. I was talking to someone yesterday, me and Brother Jim. Brother Jim was my visitation partner. We met a young man sitting on the porch, and we talked to him probably 10, 15, 20 minutes. He had a spiritual need. We told him, hey, look, there is someone who can help you with this need. But he did not see the need he had. He thought everything was okay. He thought everything was going to be fine as long as he lived a good life, as long as he was headed in the right direction, that when he died, everything would be okay. And we told him, and then we asked him where he found that information from, and he told him that's how he felt. And we explained to him about the deceitfulness of the heart and what the Bible said and how the Bible says what truth is and what it means to go to heaven and after you leave this world. But he was spiritually blind. He had been blinded by the devil into believing these things were okay. Bartimaeus hears and he begins to cry out and says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Here's something I want you to understand about the story of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus did not go to Jesus based off his merit. Bartimaeus did not go based off of being a Jew. We're not sure if he was, but assuming because of the location, he probably was. And he didn't say, hey, look, I'm a son of Abraham. You need to heal me. No, he says, based off your mercy, based off your compassion, based off the fact that I have a need, I'm asking for you to help me. He realizes that Jesus is the only one that can help him. He realizes there is no one else that can heal him. And he realizes he needs to get to Jesus. He needs Jesus to hear him. He needs Jesus to see him and to help him to be able to receive his sight. So he begins to cry out. He begins to cry out, have mercy on me. Verse 48 is something that always has kind of disturbed me a little bit and helped me understand how some people can be cruel. I began wondering in verse 48, it says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. There was many, and you can imagine this story. It talks about a multitude. It says in verse 46, a great number. It talks about it being a multitude that passed by in Luke chapter 18. So you can imagine Jesus is in the middle. And amongst Jesus, there is a group that's surrounding him. And around that group, there is another group. And then there's another group. And then there's another group. And there is a outskirts of the group that are going out and they're hearing. And that's who Bartimaeus says to him, that, hey, who is it? What's causing all this commotion? There's something that's happening. And that's when he hears about Jesus. Now, that group that told him about Jesus and that group that said, hey, Jesus is coming, they hear Bartimaeus begin to cry out. They begin to hear Bartimaeus say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That cry, that son of David, means that he believed that he was the Messiah. He wasn't just a son of Abraham. He was a son of David, saying that he was the anointed one that was coming. He was recognizing that Jesus was the Messiah that many had not saw, that many had not understood. And he's crying out, but there is many who told him to be quiet. Why would there have been people there that day with Jesus? Well, if you go back and you look throughout the gospel records, there's maybe three different main reasons why someone followed Jesus. One of them would have been the fact that they wanted to learn of Jesus' teachings. Second one, which was probably the greatest reason, is because they wanted Jesus to perform miracles. They were impressed with Jesus' miracles. They wanted to see what was going to happen next. And a third reason was there was a group there that was either the religious leaders or spies of religious leaders watching Jesus to see if Jesus was going to do something wrong. But amongst those three groups, we see there is one of them, at least some people, that when they heard Jesus, when they heard Bartimaeus crying out, many charged him in verse 48 that he should hold his peace. As I was studying and reading and considering this, I thought, what should those many have been knowing? There was a man there sitting on the side of the road that had been sitting there for a long period of time saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But probably some of these same people had seen Bartimaeus day after day after day saying, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. This many should not have been charging him that he should be quiet. This many should have been saying, hey, Bartimaeus, I'm going to do whatever I can to help you get to Jesus. I'm going to do whatever I can to help you meet the master. I see you have this need. I see you have this desire, and I want to help get you to Jesus. But that's not what they do. I find it interesting that there was a group of people that told him that Jesus was coming, but there's also possibly the same group that's telling him to be quiet. There's the same group that's saying, you can't come to Jesus that way. Jesus does not have time for you. You're not important enough for Jesus. Why would they have told him to be quiet? They didn't want Jesus. They didn't want Bartimaeus taking up Jesus' time. They wanted Jesus to focus on them. They wanted to hear Jesus' teachings. If they were looking for a miracle, perfect example, there's a blind man sitting right there, and never is it recorded that Jesus walked past someone with a need and he ignored them. That they could have taken Bartimaeus to the midst of that group, or they could have had the people walk around Bartimaeus till they got to Jesus, but they chose not to. What do you learn from that? Don't be that person. Don't be that person that says, hey, there's someone who can help you, but then ignore the person just because they're doing something you don't like. When they express they have a need, and maybe they don't know how to express it, or maybe they look a little bit differently or act a little bit differently. They're there and they have a need, and you say they should be at church, and they say that Jesus can help them with their need. Then show them to Jesus that can help them. Bring that person to Jesus. But many times what happens in a life when someone comes to a church and we say, oh, Jesus is the person, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And then when they act out or do something differently, we want to shun them. We want to push them away. We don't want to make them feel welcome. We don't want to live a life that is anticipating that the Spirit of God or that Christ can be revealed through our bodies and that Christ can do a work in our hearts and that Christ can do a work in our lives so we can show someone else. Don't be that person that says, Jesus is the answer, but then never show them what the change that God has made in your own life. Don't be that person that says, hey, Jesus is someone that can help you. Jesus is passing by. Jesus is the person that can make a difference in your life. And then don't live a life that has made a difference and show them the difference that can be made. This is something that I wouldn't say new in the story, but this is something that the Lord impacted my heart about, is that I shouldn't be charging them to hold their peace. I should be saying, let me help you get to Jesus. Are you doing anything to help somebody get to Jesus? Are you out there talking to somebody? We all believe that Jesus is the answer. We all believe that Jesus is the one that can help. We all believe that, but are we helping someone get there? With the way that we live our lives, the way that we come to church, the way that we serve, do we anticipate? On Wednesday night, we talked about that verse. And in Philippians, I think it's 1:21, it talked about how Paul was anticipating that he was anticipating that God was going to work, that God was going to reveal Christ in his life. And he expected it. And he expected it to the part that he told the Philippian church, it would be better for me to stay in this world for your sake, because I know God's going to use me to make a difference. He's not saying that based off of pride and saying, look what God's going to do in me. He's saying that based off the fact that he has surrendered his life and he has kept his flesh into a submission. So that way he would not be counted as a castaway. He believed in the promises of God. He believed that God was going to work in his heart. He believed that God was going to work in his life. And I think we have churches that are filled with people that say, yes, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. But they don't let Jesus work in their own heart. And they don't let Jesus make a difference in their own life. So they're having trouble bringing people to Jesus. Instead, they're just saying, you get sit over there and be quiet. Bartimaeus did not let any individual stop him from getting to Jesus. He cried out, it says. And if you go back and you study out that word cry out, he's not just saying, he is shouting it out. And Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. And look at verse number 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, and he cried the more a great deal. So if you go and study out the word in verse 47, he is being loud. That was not the issue. They didn't care that he was crying out. He was being a nuisance to them. How many times does unsaved people become a nuisance to us? They do. They look different. They act different. How many times does immature Christians become a nuisance to us? When they become a nuisance to us, you know why they're a nuisance to us? It's because we're immature also. And we need to learn to grow in that grace. And we need to learn to treat people the way Christ would and help show them and make a difference and show them the Bible to get people to Jesus instead of pushing people away. And I think I see that happen sometimes, and it discourages me and makes me want to think, why wouldn't these people bring Bartimaeus to Jesus? And why don't I bring people to Jesus? And then it continues on, and many charged him that he would hold his peace, but he cried a more great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now I love this next phrase. And Jesus stood still. There's a group of people that was telling Bartimaeus, hey, no one cares about you. You're just a blind man. Jesus doesn't care. Don't waste Jesus' time. He doesn't have time for you. And there is a world of people out there that says, hey, just because you don't fit in, Jesus doesn't love you. But you don't see that in the Bible. There are people out there that says, hey, you just don't understand. And that's what they're telling Bartimaeus. Because of who you are, Jesus would not take time on someone like you. You're not important enough. You're not valuable enough. There's more important things to do. But you see here in verse 49, it said Jesus stood still. Nowhere else in this story does it say Jesus stood still for anybody. Those that told Bartimaeus to be quiet, he didn't stand still for them. Those who were sitting there and he was walking down the way, and as he's moving and cross, he stands still for the person who is willing to cry out to him, for the person who has understanding that there is a need, that I need God. I need to get to God. I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to continue to cry out to God. I'm going to continue to cry out to God until he responds. And praise the Lord, he promises he'll respond. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You think those that probably told Bartimaeus to be quiet, they were annoyed by his noise. They thought he wasn't important enough, but Jesus said he was important enough. And I believe, and I remember the night, I don't remember that much from the night over 20 years ago when that man preached. He said, despite the fact that Jesus is holding the world in his hands, and the fact that he knows everything that is going on, and he's an intercessor, and he went through and talked about some of the things that Christ does, he will stand still and listen to anyone who's crying out to him today. So how can he listen to that person and listen to that person and listen to that person? It's because he's God. I remember going to Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee, and the first year with camp, and I was there, and Derek Sawyer was there with me, and there was a group of kids, young people that was there with us, and they were all there, and they were praying, and during their prayer meetings, they do something like we do. We pray out loud. Well, those that pray together, some of us pray out loud on a Wednesday night. And there was hundreds, maybe over 1,000 people that day. And they were all there praying. And Derek and me and Derek were praying. He looked at me and he said, this is amazing. I was like, it's prayer, Derek. We all pray. We should pray all the time. He said, no. He says, the fact that there's all these people praying out loud and that God can hear and understand every single one of them. And that's the thought that goes in my mind here, that Jesus stood still for the person that was seeking him. Jesus stood still for the person who knew that God, he needed God. And I think sometimes we've gotten to this point in our life that we've gotten so used to living without him, we don't feel like we need him as much as we do. We've gotten to the point where we become at ease with certain parts of our lives, and we've gotten at ease with our faith, to where we don't want to be pushed any farther to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We've gotten to the spot that we've stopped crying out to God. We think we don't need him as much. And that's what this passage helps me understand. I'd gone to church my entire life, and God has spoken to my heart, and he continued on. But even sitting in Bible college, discouraged a little bit because of what happened to my former pastor, and wondering what God was trying to do in my heart and life, that night it reminded me of this important truth. I needed to get to God. And I was letting circumstances, I was letting people, and I was letting things stop me from getting to God. And that night I cried out to him. That night it helped me understand that I needed to get to him. And so many times we have problems and issues and things that are happening in our life that is completely out of our control, that we want to feel like we can box up and send them to the side and they'll be okay. What we really need to do is we need to get to God, and we need to cry out to God and realize I need God every day. I need God every moment. And we need to learn to cry out and say, God, there's something in my life that I cannot do. There's something that I need your help with. God, please help me. But we struggle with even praying in the morning, some of us. We struggle with really seeing the need and crying out. We let people tell us, oh, God doesn't care about that. Oh, that's not really that important. We let circumstances distract us to the point that we're not focused on how much we need him. We blame others. I've learned a hard way so many times that I can't fix people. I try. I want to. You got people you love. You got people you're praying for. People I'd be willing to do anything in the world for. Fast and pray. Be willing to give up. Give anything that they want. But sometimes there's a work that only God can do in that person's life. And sometimes you have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, they need you. They don't need me. And the reality is they've always needed God. They don't need me. I need to point people to God. I need to point people to Christ. And that's what I'm wondering, is that what we're doing? Are we pointing people to us? Are we pointing people to God? Are we pointing people to a system? Are we pointing to him? Are we crying out to him on a regular basis? We have families that are struggling. We have in our own families that are struggling. We have Christians that have been saved for a long time that don't enjoy the things of God and don't savor the things of God, and we need to cry out to him. We got a nation that's in a mess and we worry about so many other things, but are we crying out to God and saying, God, help me. I need you. Have mercy on me. And you see here that Jesus stood still, and I truly honestly believe that Jesus will stand still and listen to a sincere heart that is right with him, that's crying out to him, that's seeking him. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer, comfort, rise. He called thee, it says in verse 49. Verse 50 is an interesting verse, and you might say this is a little bit of a stretch, but I think there's an application here. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now that garment for a poor blind person would have been something very precious to them. That garment would have been something that was going to maybe be their pillow at night. That's something that kept him warm. And if he's asking for alms for the poor to be able to feed himself, that garment would have been precious to him. It says he cast it aside. Why is that? He didn't want anything slowing him down to get to Jesus. Being a garment is sometimes, most times, something that is long. And maybe he felt like he could trip over it. Or maybe he just did not want anything that was going to slow him down from getting to the Savior. Says he cast the garment and rose and came to Jesus. Say, what's the application there? Is there something slowing you down from getting to God? Is there something that is there a sin? Or is there a weight that so easily besets us? Is there something in your life that is slowing you down from getting? Cast it aside. I don't care if it's your pride, cast it aside. I don't care if it's past hurt feelings, cast it aside. What is stopping you from getting to the Lord? What is stopping us from seeing our need? What is stopping us? Is there some type of, and the Bible talks about keeping our eyes focused on Jesus and talks about running the race and talks about not letting the sin that so easily besets us. And we need to be careful. What is stopping us from seeing our need? Bartimaeus did not let people stop him. He did not let his possessions stop him. He saw he had a need and he cried out to God, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, now this is something that people look at and say, well, why would he say that? What will thou that I should do unto thee? And Jesus looks at this blind man. Every single person in the crowd knew, even the dumbest of the dumb, the youngest of the young, or the oldest of the old, they would all know this. He wants to see, obviously. So why would Jesus say, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Because Jesus wanted to hear him say what his problem was, what his need is. Say, Pastor, why do I need to cry out to God? Because when we pray and we ask God, we say, God, I know I cannot do anything to fix this. I need you. Prayer. You say, Jesus already knows about the problem. Why do we need to pray? He tells us to pray. And when we stand before a thrice holy God, and we stand there in our own self, and we are stripped away of our own pride and all our own sin, and we come to God and we cry out to him, God, I need your help. I know you know about this problem in my family. I know you know this problem about our church. I know you know this problem about America. I know you know this problem about ourselves, because our biggest problem is ourselves. God, will you please help me? Show mercy to me, God. Be compassionate, God. Show me the things I need. And I cry out to God. God wants to hear us tell us the things that we want his help with. I don't know what it is in your heart and life today that you're struggling with or that you need. And I hear people say, well, God knows about that already. He tells you to pray without ceasing. He tells you to bring your burdens. He tells you to cast your burdens upon him. He tells you all those things. So today, what is God saying? Well, what can I do for you? What? Now, he's not some type of genie in the bottle. No. He's not. But he's saying, I want you to articulate. I want you to come to the moment and realize you cannot do this yourself. You need me. Now cry out to me and say, God, I need you. We say we know that. We say we believe that. But if we know that and we believe that, how come we're not crying out? How come we're not seeking the Lord like you should? Now, I want you to also see the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I like that. I remember 20 years ago when the guy said, he didn't ask for a seeing eye dog. I don't even think they had seeing eye dogs back then. But he didn't ask for something that man could do. Didn't ask for a new cane. Didn't ask for enough money to take care of him for the year. He asked him for something only God could do. And I think that's the type of prayers we need to believe in and trust in. Yes, man may be able to meet a need. But when God speaks to man's heart about meeting a need, he not only helps you, but he helps that individual too. There are things in this world that only God can do, and that God can make a difference in our lives spiritually. And that's the type of prayers I believe when we cry out to him and we say, God, I need your help here. Because we feel like we can fix our families. We feel like we can fix our church. We feel like we can fix ourselves. When in all reality, what we need to do is see a God that can do all things and say, God, I can't do this in my own strength. God, will you please have mercy upon me? I see that you're the Son of David. I see that you're Lord. I see that you're Messiah. Have mercy on me. I need God to step in. And then you see in verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. If you go to Luke, it talks about how people rejoiced. People rejoice when we get things right. That the Lord is the only one that can make us whole. And I understand that's talking about meeting a physical need and a spiritual need and the idea that they're both been met. And I understand that there is a spiritual need in all their lives that only Jesus can meet. If you're here today and says, I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'm not even sure what's going to happen to me after I die, Jesus is passing by. Cry out to him. Jesus is passing by the door of your heart right now. Cry out to him. Realize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and ask him to save you. And to those that are sitting in this room that have been saved and probably saved for many years, when's the last time we truly cried out to him this way? When's the last time we came to a realization, I need God in every area of my life? He is the only one that can help me. He is the only one that can fix it. When people try to get in their own mind, in their own strength, how things have to be done the way that they should be done and try to physically do things on their own, and they leave God completely out, they make a mess. Let us be known to be people that cry out to God. Yes, the Lord leads us. Yes, the Lord directs us. Yes, the Lord gives us what we should and shouldn't be done. But let us cry out to him and say, God, I need you. I desperately need you. God, let me be right with you. As we talked about a few weeks ago, let me see you high and lifted up. Let me bow in your presence. Let me surrender and say, Lord, I know that I need you in my life. Please help me. Show mercy to me. How do we apply this to our lives and to our church's life? Are we a people that are going out and telling the Bartimaeuses of the world, there's somebody can help you? I pray that we are. Are we more like that group that's found in verse 48 that is not getting people to Jesus? Let's not be like that. Let us see people. Let us deal with people. Let's deal with people's hardships. Let's deal with people's blemishes. Let's deal with all. Let's be kind. Let's be tenderhearted. Let's forgiving one another. Let's put off the works of the flesh. Let's put on the works of the new man. Let's do all those things. Let's deal, because we have our own blemishes. We have our own problems. We have our own things, and we're thankful for the people who have been patient and kind with us. Let us not be someone that is like this, is telling them, look, hold your peace, when they should have been saying, okay, I hear you. Let's get you closer to Jesus. I will take you by the hand, and I will do my best to get you to Jesus. It says, well, there isn't a Jesus passing by, but there is Jesus who comes and meets with us day by day, that we can bring them and says, look what God showed me. Look what God told me. Look how God's helped me. And live like Christ has made a difference in our life. And then we continue on. I guess as we see the story, don't let people stop you from getting to Him. There was people that tried to stop him. Circumstances, he says, well, I'm just a blind person. I could have listened to the other people and said, you know what? Maybe he doesn't have time for me. Maybe there are better things for him to do. Maybe this, maybe that. He doesn't let his circumstances, he doesn't even let his garment stop him. He casts that garment away, because I'm not going to let anything slow me down from getting to him, because I see I need him. I need him so bad. And some of us haven't touched the hem of his garment in such a long time that we don't know what it's like to feel like we need him. We don't know what it's like that I can't make it to the next step. I can't be the right dad. I can't be the right mom. I can't be the right husband. I can't be the right wife. I can't be the right child or teenager or church member unless I have God. I need him, and I need him so desperately that I need to cry out to him. Some of us haven't heard from him in such a long time. We just continue on and don't even see the need. I'm here to tell you, like those told Bartimaeus, there's someone who can help you today. Amen. There's someone that's passing by that cares and loves for you, even though everybody else might tell you you're not important. Everybody else might tell you you can't change him. Everybody else might say you're stuck that way. There is a God that can do all things, that can work in your life and desires to work in your heart and desires to work in your life. Just cry out to him. You need the Lord today. I need him today. Every hour I need him. Every moment. Every step. And based off of what he did for Bartimaeus, he stood still. When you cry out to him today, I believe he'll stand still. I believe he will listen to your prayer, and I believe he's going to say something like this: what is it that you want me to do? And instead of asking for the little things, ask for the thing that only God can do. God, I want you to change only what you can change. Help me, Lord, today to do something that no one else can do. Show up in my life. Meet with me and make a difference today. When's the last time we cried out and said, have mercy on me? Let's pray.